I really believe that one of the plaguing sins of many people today is a spirit of ingratitude that expresses itself in grumbling and complaining. I shared the following story with those who were gathered here at the building last Sunday night. So with apologies to that group of people who've already heard this story, I want to share it with everybody else as well. This was reported on CNN, so it must be true, right? Okay. I meant absolutely nothing by that. That's not a dig. I could have easily said it was reported on Fox, therefore it must not be true, right? I could have said whatever. So here we go. According to CNN, recently a plane full of Hawaii-bound passengers found itself making an emergency landing in Los Angeles, not Honolulu, after a male passenger got into a physical altercation with an airline employee over the cost of a blanket. Reportedly, the passenger, a 66-year-old man, requested a blanket because he was chilly. The flight attendant gladly brought him a blanket and in the process informed the man that due to health code concerns, he would need to purchase the blanket. It would be his to keep after he got off the plane, but the cost of the blanket would be $12. Upon learning he would be charged $12 for a blanket, the man lost his mind. He threatened the flight attendant with bodily harm and said he would like to take someone out behind the woodshed for this injustice. After several failed attempts to calm the man down, the captain decided to reroute the plane to Los Angeles, a choice that was defended by Hawaiian Airlines spokesman who said, "Diverting a flight is clearly not our first choice, but our crew felt it was necessary in this case to divert to Los Angeles and deplane the passenger before beginning to fly over the Pacific Ocean." Now, let's break this story down just a little bit. Here we've got a 66-year-old man who is healthy and wealthy enough to be flying on an airplane to Hawaii. Right? Sunshine, beaches, island paradise, right? $6 hamburgers, spoken by someone who obviously has been to Hawaii. But all this guy can do is grumble and complain about how chilly the airplane is and ultimately go ballistic over a $12 charge for a blanket. Different people reacted to this story. Don Knotts had the typical response that I think is pretty good. Leslie Jones couldn't believe what she was hearing either. Duke the dog found it quite hard to believe as well. Stephen A. Smith just couldn't believe what he was hearing. Nor could this woman whose mind, Maya, I think is her first name. And finally, Steve Harvey couldn't believe it either, nor could Bonzo the monkey. He just lost his mind. All right, little attempt at levity there. Some of you didn't crack a smile through that. I do not have a clue what I would have to do to get some of you to engage with me. If you didn't crack a smile at any of that, it is over. That's all I got. That is the best I can do, so I might as well give up because some of you didn't crack a smile there. So, okay. All right, one of the reasons I love Thanksgiving is because it pushes back against a spirit of ingratitude. And it seemed that a spirit that seems to permeate our culture, a spirit of ingratitude that expresses itself in an abundance of grumbling and complaining and arguing. And it reminds us, at least for a brief period of time, to stop grumbling and complaining about all that's wrong and instead count our blessings and be thankful. It also reminds me how desperate our culture needs to see disciples of Jesus living genuine lives as disciples. Joyful, grateful lives, not just 1 week out of the year, but all 52 weeks of the year. It occurs to me one of the ways that we can be a blessing to others is to embrace the words written by the Apostle Paul in the passage of Scripture on the screen behind me, where in a letter to the church at Ephesus, among other things, Paul said, "Do everything." That's pretty big, isn't it? Everything pretty much encompasses what? Everything, right, yeah. "Do everything," Paul says, "without grumbling and complaining." Wow. That's pretty big. In our culture, though, disciples of Jesus who exude a grateful, joyful spirit that doesn't complain, that doesn't grumble, that doesn't argue about everything that comes down the pike, well, Paul says we stand out like stars in the nighttime sky. When we, as disciples of Jesus, live joyful, grateful, thankful lives, and we resist that temptation to grumble and complain and argue about everything that happens, Paul says we stand out like stars in the dark night. Question is, how do we do that? How do we develop a genuinely joyful and grateful attitude, one that shines like stars in the night, not just in a few days leading up to Thanksgiving, but in all 52 weeks of the year? This morning, I want to share three quick practices and then three quick challenges that I believe, if put into practice, will help us develop a better attitude, will help us develop this joyful, grateful spirit that we as disciples need to have in order to shine out like stars in the universe, in the sky at night. All right, on your handout this morning, you've got three blank spaces there under that first heading. Three practices for building a joyful, grateful spirit. Number one, worship God daily. I'm going to refer to these practices as tools. All of us have a disciple's toolbox. You got it when you were baptized. You didn't know that, did you? But you did. All of us have a disciple's toolbox that's available to us, and in that disciple's toolbox are a number of tools that have specific designations. They're designed to do specific things in our lives. And one of those tools that is uniquely designed to help us develop a more joyful, grateful spirit is to worship and praise God, even when no one else is around. Here's what I think a lot of us fall into doing. We think this is all we need. We come in here on Sunday morning, we sing, if some of us do. I'll even add that caveat. Some of us do. Not everybody sings. And we're not going to go into why that's the case this morning, but just know this. Some of us know who we're talking about here, all right? Because we get to stand up here and we see. We know some of you don't open your mouths. You don't sing. Maybe you're singing in your heart. Hope so. But you're not singing with your mouth. So, but here's the thing. This is not enough. If you're not using the tool of daily praise and worship to God, here's what's happening. When we don't use that tool, except once a week, we are hindering the work of the Spirit in our lives, whose job it is to help create within us a spirit of joy and gratitude. Some of us are worship deprived. We don't do enough of it, because about the only little taste we get is what we get in here on Sunday morning for a few moments when Danny leads us in song and we praise God. If that's the only time during the week that you open your mouth and praise Him in song, I'm telling you, you are depriving yourself of one of the best tools available for developing a spirit of joy and gratitude. Worship of God opens us up to the Spirit developing within us a spirit of joy and gratitude. The psalmist wrote, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary." Folks, the reason some of us are so quick to complain and argue and grumble is because we're not using one of the best tools available to us to create a different spirit in our hearts. And that is the spirit of praise to God. I'm going to come back and give you a challenge here in just a moment with that one. Secondly, another tool available to us to develop a spirit of joy and gratitude is the tool of verbally expressing things that you're thankful for. Psalm 9, verse 1, "I will give thanks to You, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all Your wonderful deeds." A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with a counselor friend who told me that research has shown definitively, there's no question about this, that verbally expressing gratitude multiple times throughout the day actually rewires the brain. It changes the way we view things and see people from negative and ungrateful to positive and thankful. The verbalizing of thanksgiving, verbally expressing why we're grateful multiple times throughout the day actually rewires the human brain. It makes us see things differently. So here's another spiritual tool then available to us in the disciples' toolbox that can help us shine like stars in the nighttime sky, and that is intentionally expressing our gratitude for the many good gifts we've received from our Father. I love this passage of Scripture, Psalm 78, by Asaph. "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done, so the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn will tell their children." I want to do a better job with my grandkids than I did with my kids. I don't think I did this very well as an adult for much of my life. And so I want to make sure that my grandkids know, man, I am thankful to God. I am thankful to God for your parents. I am thankful to God for you. I am thankful to God that He loves us. I want my grandchildren to hear me talk about the wonders of God so that they in turn can tell the next generation yet unborn of the power and the goodness and the graciousness of God. But it's got to start with me, right? It's got to start with you. One of the best tools we have available for developing a spirit of joy and gratitude is just being thankful and expressing it and saying it and getting it out there so that others can hear it and pass it along to future generations. One more, number three. One of the best tools we have for building a spirit of joy and gratitude is serving other people. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty much boil this entire thing down to this. Love God, love people. The entire law, Paul says, is fulfilled when we keep this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So what do? To develop a spirit of joy and gratitude, get out of ourselves and serve someone else. When we take the time to write a note of appreciation, to visit someone who is lonely, to volunteer at the soup kitchen, to take a meal to someone who hasn't had the time or energy to do a meal lately, or take a friend who's struggling out for a cup of coffee or a Diet Coke, whatever your choice might be, we often discover that we are the one who comes away feeling thankful and joyful. You're familiar with this scripture, aren't you? It's more blessed to give than receive. Here's the crazy thing about that principle. When we're faithful to give and serve others, we often come away feeling like we've received far more than we gave. So here's another tool for developing a spirit of joy and gratitude, and that is get out of ourselves and help someone else. Be a blessing to someone else. All right, real quickly. I told you we're going to go quick this morning. Three practices, three actions you can take to develop a joyful, grateful spirit. Three challenges to put these practices into action. Number one, here's a challenge I want to give you for this coming week. And that challenge is, and if you need to take one of our hymnals to do this, I'm giving you permission. Just bring it back. We might need it sometime down the road. But you might need a hymnal to do this today. And if you need one, take it with our blessing. Take 5 to 10 minutes out of your day, every day this coming week, and sing out loud two songs. Now, some of you are thinking, Charlie, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. Come on, I've said a lot of things that are more stupid than that. Some of y'all laughed really mean on that. That was... Singing out loud is good for you. If you don't believe me, Google it. Go ahead, really. I mean, Google it. A lot of you got your phones out. You're looking at them anyway. Google it. Google the benefits of singing. Giving you permission, do it. Now, you may crash the server. I don't know, because everybody trying to do that at one time might not be possible. But go ahead, Google it if you can get through, or do it this afternoon. And what you will find is link after link after link to articles that show and reveal the benefits of singing out loud, both public, both in private and in groups. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. Right? It's almost like the one who created us knew it would benefit us emotionally, physically, and spiritually if we would find the strength to open our mouths and praise him in song. It's almost like he knew what he was doing when he gave us the capacity the ability to do that. Jerry Jones, former chair at the Bible Department at Harding University and a good friend of this church, he's spoken here a number of times over the years, and you might remember him saying this because he said it from this pulpit a number of years ago. He says, the thing that helped him recover a sense of joy and thanksgiving after the death of his first wife died of cancer a number of years ago. It was a hard, painful death. And I've heard him say on a number of occasions that the thing that helped him recover a sense of joy and thanksgiving in his heart after her death was sitting on the floor in his home singing praises to God. Something about doing that unleashed in him a power that would otherwise have not been unleashed. And so for several days after her death, often when he had not enough strength to do anything else, he sat down the middle of his floor and just sang to God. And that tool helped him recover a sense of joy and a sense of gratitude that was taken away from him when his wife died. It helped him recapture it and find it once again. Remember the commercial, milk does a body good? Worship does a body good. So, challenge number one. I'm not talking about an hour. I'm not talking about a big block of time. 5 minutes. Sing a song or two out loud to God, a song of praise, and do that every day for the next 7 days and see if that doesn't begin to restore a sense of joy and gratitude in your heart. Verbally express your gratitude. Here's the challenge for that point. Make it a point this coming week to verbally express thanksgiving for 15 things. I don't have 15 fingers, so I only did 5, 5, and 5. So that, no, man, that's even stupider than the singing thing. No, it's really quite easy. Do it around your meals. Most of us in here eat 3 times a day. Some of us eat even more than that, but at least 3 times a day. When you go to lunch here in just a few moments, real quick, what are 5 things that I'm thankful for? At supper tonight, 5 things that I'm thankful for. Do that every day this coming week. Just real quick, 5 things. What am I thankful for? Bacon and eggs, the ability to smell, friendly waitresses, whatever it is, 5 things. Won't take you but a few seconds to reel them off. Say them out loud. Do it 3 times a day for a total of 15 times throughout the coming week and see if by the end of this week you're not feeling a little bit more grateful, a little bit more joyful for the blessings that God has given you. And finally, one other thing. Find someone this week to bless. Write a note, make a call, cook a meal, deliver it to someone who's in need, visit a friend. Do one thing that blesses another human being. And try to do it without any fanfare. Try to do it without a lot of people knowing what you did, because that's not what it's about. It's not about you getting credit for doing something good. It's just about you doing something that blesses another person. Discover for yourself what Scripture says or what it means when it says it's more blessed to give than receive. So how do we develop a spirit of joy and thanksgiving that enables us to shine like stars in the night sky? We praise God daily, we verbally express our gratitude, and we serve others. Church, the people we live and work and play with in this community already hear enough grumbling, complaining, and arguing. There's plenty of that. You can get that pretty much anywhere you go. You can get that just by opening up your Facebook page. It's all over the place. Most of the people you know and work with and serve with and play with and do life with already get plenty of grumbling and complaining and arguing. There's a lot of that in the world. What they need from us as Christians is to bring life and light into the darkness that permeates this world. They need us to be people who speak the language of joy and thanksgiving. They need to see disciples who are learning how to trust and follow Jesus. So we're a church learning how to do that. And if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him with us and learn together what it means to trust and follow Jesus. I'm going to pray for us, and after that, Danny will lead us in a song. And if you're ready to respond to the call of Christ, that will be your opportunity to come and let us know of your desire. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the time we've been together today. Hopefully we've hit the pause button this morning and just allowed you to speak into our hearts, to wash away the dirt and the grime that we come in contact with throughout the week, and refresh us and renew us and re-energize us to go out into this community and be the disciples that Jesus has called us to be. Father, help us, show us what it means to trust and follow Jesus. And we pray that others will want to join us in that pursuit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.